and welcome to the Pharmacotherapy Podcast. My name is Tom Lodice. I'm an assistant professor at the Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences and a clinical pharmacy specialist at the Stratton VA Medical Center in Albany, New York. I also serve as one of the scientific editors for Pharmacotherapy. Today, we are talking with Dr. Dana Holger about a paper her team wrote entitled Updates in Pulmonary Drug-Resistant Tuberculosis Pharmacotherapy, a focus on BPAL and BPOM. This narrative review was published in the March 2024 issue of Pharmacotherapy. Dr. Holger is an assistant professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice at Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dana, thank you for joining the podcast today. And before we begin into the questions, I just wanted to thank you and your team for this excellent review on drug-resistant tuberculosis, which is characterized as a serious threat to human health by the CDC. So given that we have a diverse pharmacotherapy audience, I thought it would be helpful if you can briefly review the definitions of drug-susceptible, drug-resistant tuberculosis, and as part of defining drug resistance, TB, define multi-drug resistance, pre-extensively drug-resistance TB, and extensively drug-resistance TB.
Sure, and thank you for having me. And I'll start with MDR-TB, which is defined by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and the World Health Organization, WHO, as M. tuberculosis that are resistant to rifampin and isoniazid. Now, the CDC define pre-XDR-TB as M. tuberculosis isolates that are resistant to rifampin, isoniazid, and a fluoroquinolone, or a second-line injectable agent like amikacin. They define XDR-TB as TB isolates that are resistant to rifampin, isoniazid, a fluoroquinolone, and an injectable second-line agent, or linazolid or bedaquiline. The last two definitions for CDC for pre-XDR and XDR do differ slightly from the WHO. So the WHO defines pre-XDR M. tuberculosis isolates as those that are resistant to rifampin and at least one fluoroquinolone with or without resistance to isoniazid, while they define XDR-TB as M. tuberculosis isolates that are resistant to rifampin, at least one fluoroquinolone, and at least linazolid or bedaquiline. And that can be with or without resistance to isoniazid. And I just want to mention that infections caused by isolates with pre-XDR or XDR phenotype are currently rare in the U.S., but it's likely that the incidence may increase.
All right, thank you. So the one thing that always comes up with TB is I know it's a problem more worldwide than the United States, but how common is drug-resistant TB in the United States? And in comparison, what are the incidence prevalence of drug-resistant TB worldwide?
So I'll start in the U.S. So during 2022, resistance to at least isoniazid at initial diagnosis was reported for 528 TB cases in the U.S., which is 8.4% of the total cases. And then of those 528 isoniazid-resistant TB cases, 90 cases were MDR, which is 1.4% overall, which is important because that is up slightly from 1.3% in 2021. Now, pre-XDR and XDR-TB, as I said, continue to be rare, with 16 cases of pre-XDR-TB and 5 cases of XDR-TB reported in 22. And that is up from 4 cases of pre-XDR and 2 cases of XDR in 2021. But let's talk globally. So there were an estimated 410,000 incident cases of MDR-TB in 2022. Which is down from 450,000 incident cases in 2021. And then globally in 2022, the estimated proportion of those MDR cases with pre-XDR resistance was 18%, which is down from 20% in 2021. I want to add that with the expansion of rapid molecular tools, an increasing number of countries have transitioned from a reliance on periodic surveys to the establishment of a continuous surveillance system based on routine drug susceptibility testing of TB isolates for at least rifampin, which has helped improve the accuracy of these drug-resistant TB estimates. And hopefully soon, every country will have continuous surveillance systems for drug-resistant TB.
All right, thank you. So at this point in time, what are the currently preferred treatment regimens for patients with drug-resistant tuberculosis? Really just focusing on adult, non-pregnant individuals to kind of, you know, given the diverse pharmacotherapy audience.
That's a great question. And before I answer that, I want to state one disclaimer, and that is to recognize the current evolving state of the clinical evidence base and guidelines informing treatment of drug-resistant pulmonary TB. And I want to reinforce the need for expert consultation and shared decision-making for patients undergoing care for drug-resistant TB, because the treatment principles for MDR, pre-XDR, and XDR TB are extremely complex, and regimen choice should rely on factors such as drug resistance phenotype, patient history, previous exposure to anti-TB medications, and the extent of pulmonary disease as well. But that being said, I do want to elaborate on two preferred treatment regimens, which are the shorter all-oral regimens, BPAL and BPALM. So BPAL stands for bedaquiline, pretominid, and linezolid, and then BPALM includes the addition of moxifloxacin. The 2022 CDC provisional guidance recommends BPAL for pre-XDR TB, XDR TB, or non-responsive MDR TB, while the WHO 2022 guidelines recommend BPALM use in patients with MDR TB, rifampin resistant TB, or pre-XDR TB, who have been exposed to drugs for less than 1 month or resistance has been ruled out, that is. And then in patients with documented resistance to fluoroquinolones, the WHO recommends to continue or initiate BPAL without moxifloxacin. And there were several trials that led to the recommendations for BPAL use, including the NYX-TB trial, the Xenix trial, and the TB Practical study, which are all discussed in depth in the publication. So I will refer you to the publication for more information on those.
All right, thank you. So Dana, this kind of appears to be a paradigm shift. You know, I know I've been in college faculty for a long time, but in my earlier years, you know, it always seems like when we would treat patients with TB, regardless of the susceptibility phenotype, we would, you know, had more of an individualized approach, which was guided by drug susceptibility. So it seems like they're moving to a more standardized approach. And if you can just comment on that, I think that would be helpful.
Sure, and that's a great point. So BPAL and BPALM are considered standardized regimens in which the composition of drugs and duration are fixed by protocol. And these regimens often apply in lower resource settings where access to susceptibility testing may be limited to only rifampin resistance or isoniazid resistance testing. The standardized regimens are not advised for use if any regimen drugs have reliable susceptibility results that document resistance. So this could limit application in countries where extensive drug susceptibility panels exist, like the U.S. Given that, BPAL and BPALM are different from typical individualized regimens, which are more familiar to U.S. healthcare providers as the classic practice of building regimens in response to susceptibility results, which is why the CDC 2019 guidelines still provide recommendations for building an individualized regimen using five or more drugs to which the isolate is susceptible, and preferably with drugs that have not been used to treat the patient previously. However, 2019 guidelines do not make any specific recommendations regarding BPAL or BPALM, Given that that evidence came out after that publication of those 2019 guidelines, but new guidelines are currently in development, and I would expect the new and revised guidelines to include, or at least comment on those standardized regimens and their use for in the U.S. In the meantime, though, the CDC offered provisional guidance in 2022 regarding the BPAL regimen and recommended its use in patients with pre-XDR, XDR-TB, or patients with treatment-intolerant or non-responsive MDR-TB, compared to the WHO recommendations, which suggest the use of the standardized regimen for BPALM, for MDR-TB or rifampin-resistant TB, with or without resistance to fluoroquinolones, where potentially only rifampin susceptibilities would be needed, which again is helpful in those lower resource settings. But if fluoroquinolone susceptibility is available and testing documents resistance, BPAL can be continued according to the WHO 2022 guidelines. There's also several key considerations regarding treatment with these newer standardized regimens, and those are listed in detail and discussed in detail also in the publication.
All right, thank you. So you said with these new recommendations, we are moving to shorter treatment durations. So how short are you know, what is the new recommendations? Are we down the months? Are we down the weeks? You know, how long do we treat these patients with drug-resistant TB?
Both the WHO and the CDC recommend that this new treatment regimen, the BPAL regimen, is used for 26 weeks or 6 months for drug-resistant TB. However, there is an option to extend the regimen to 9 months or 39 weeks if there's evidence for delayed response to treatment, which is defined as cultures remaining positive for 2 months of treatment per the CDC. It's also recommended to monitor patients with MDR-TB while on treatment using monthly sputum cultures. That way you can detect failure to convert sputum culture at usually the 4th month on treatment is a potential sign of failing treatment regimen, according to the WHO. And in those cases, a longer duration, which can be anywhere from 15 to 24 months, may be preferred. So the 2019 CDC guidelines also provide a stepwise approach for building these longer individualized regimens, which include 5 drugs in the intensive phase and 4 drugs in the continuation phase. And then the intensive phase treatment duration is usually between 5 and 7 months after culture conversion in patients with MDR-TB.
All right, great. So is there any promising agents in the pipeline? And, you know, will these agents kind of reduce the complexity? I mean, my head is spinning a bit with, you know, these 5 drug regimens and confirming susceptibility, but does the pipeline offer any hope in terms of simplifying treatment for patients with drug-resistant TB?
Yeah, so thankfully there are some new options. So the development of new anti-TB agents continues to progress with several new classes that have emerged. So one of them is the DPRE1 inhibitors, which are a new class that target an essential process for cell wall synthesis of TB. And the DPRE1 enzyme helps to catalyze the conversion of certain sugars into a usable donor of sugar that is necessary for cell wall biosynthesis in mycobacteria. And this is a highly sensitive target that lends itself to many possibilities of drug development that are ongoing. Other new classes include small molecule drugs that disrupt TB cell wall synthesis. An example of those would be ethylene diamine, also known as SQ109, which is currently in phase 2 development. Other new classes target the specific electron transport chain of mycobacteria. An example of that would be cytochrome BC1 complex inhibitors. One was formerly known as Q203 and is also in phase 2 development. So overall, I expect the landscape of drug-resistant TB pharmacotherapy to continue to change and hopefully lead to improved treatment options in the near future.
All right, Dr. Holger, thank you so much for your time. I would encourage everybody listening to the podcast to please review the paper in its entirety. Clearly, there's been a lot of changes in the management of patients with drug-resistant TB. Clearly, some of the treatment recommendations are complex, and there's a lot of things to consider. And Dr. Holger, again, thank you for your excellent paper and joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.